Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You just bought a home in the suburbs, but no one told you about all the birds, specifically this one, who seems to be calling out Roy. Roy. But who exactly is Roy? And why doesn't he ever respond? Maybe Roy is just bird speak for save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. I guess until Roy answers, we'll never know. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Everybody, what's going on? It is the big thing, the goofball edition, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're doing well. I hope you had a good day yesterday. I think it was Monday yesterday. No, that's a false lie. It was Tuesday because this airs on Wednesday.
Don't do that to me.
I'm sorry. Sorry, everybody. Those two voices you heard, if you were watching the Wolf of Wall Street episode, stupid-ass camera. If you were watching the Wolf of Wall Street episode, you would have seen both myself, Bonnie Somerville, Kim Mulligan, Brett Sheridan, where you're going to see at least two of those people because they were able to wake up in the morning because they have children. So, and other reasons. Nice to have you all. Please make sure you go to the podcast is very, very important. As we were telling, it's probably right at the moment as we started this show, anywhere between 6,000 to 8,000 people that are watching this on YouTube. I'm begging you at this point, if you are able to, if the 6,000 to 8,000 people downloaded every episode on the podcast and subscribed to and followed it, we'd be in really good shape right now. There's about 2,000 to 3,000 of you guys doing that on podcast. If you're listening to this and you're watching it, please, please, please go on over to the podcast from whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are fine, please go on over there. And also, if you didn't know this, Patreon, patreon.com/SENLive and patreon.com/Schmodown. Lots of stuff that we got going on both of those platforms. The SEN Live one is going to change dramatically to fit a lot of the shows that we have. So anyway, look at this. This guy, you know this character. Look at him. He's so nice. Look at you. You look like a little kid at school right now. You're so excited. Yeah, look how excited you are.
I like my new teacher.
Did you do coloring? Did you color today? What'd you color?
Coloring was really fun.
Did you stay inside the lines, Joey?
Yes.
Yeah, I did? Okay.
My teacher was really happy about it.
What was your favorite color, Joe? What was your favorite color?
Green, of course.
Oh, yeah? Why?
But I told you this already.
Well, but it switched. A couple of weeks ago, you liked purple. What happened now?
Well, you know, sometimes things change.
They do change. That's true, Joe. So what were you doing with that little pet zebra?
They have a stuffed pet zebra, and it's my favorite, and it's mine, and people try to play with it, right. But it's mine.
No one else can have it. But you stop socking people, right, Joe?
Yes.
Good.
No more biting.
No more biting.
They said.
No more biting yourself.
Yes.
Right. Can't do that. And then we have the teacher here as well.
Everybody sit down. Get out your number two pencils.
So
okay, stop, Joe, stop biting the tip of the pencil. It's bad for your teeth, and I don't want to have to go around and pick up little eraser bits, okay?
But I'm a chipmunk.
Joe, hands to yourself. All right, Chrissy.
Yeah?
Chrissy?
Yeah?
Chrissy, I'm not going to ask you again. You got to keep your hands to yourself, buddy.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, all right.
Well, that's the kind of shit you're going to get
there
on this
go.
One.
Play the music.
Boom, boom.
Goofball. Goofball.
You came to the right show, motherfucker. So much to talk about. Uh-huh. There's a lot as well. I do want to talk about Richard Donner because we're all kids of the 80s and
yes.
The Goonies and Superman and all that. We're gonna talk about Richard Donner for sure and give the man the love he deserves, all the stuff that he did in his great career and long life. long life. It's always sad, obviously. He's like 93 years old or whatever it might have been. He lived a very long life, and we'll get into that.
And don't you also feel like when you've survived COVID, you should get like a bonus?
Yeah,
a couple years.
Get a couple
like
extra.
Anybody who dies just after COVID, it's like extra.
Or during
trash.
It, yeah.
During, I feel like.
Is well deserved.
You and no. you got
that was
you
telling me
out.
Earlier? Yeah. No, you're saying
you got to tap out. You were just sort of like if you're 93 and die during COVID, not from COVID but from something else. I'm
you're
sort of
like,
wish I could have been you.
I know. Like, I know. It's
you skipped out on a pretty shit a
thing.
Shipwreck.
Yeah, here. And but we'll be talking about Richard Donner for short and the things that he done. But there was what were you talking about? Oh, so. 4th of July just passed, and I'm curious how you guys did. And it was fun. It was interesting because it was the first time we had some people over, but it was quiet. It was small. It was just like mostly family and like my wife's like childhood friend and her family,
right?
Which is great because the kids were able to play. They have kids and just kind of running around the backyard. And it was no mass. It was like normal. We're doing barbecuing with all of that, and I had this thing that we had from a sponsor. And it's the one of those utility. It's got a wrench on it. You can do your taxes on it, whatever. It's like all that stuff. But there's this knife on it, right? Mm. And I used it a couple times for like to open up packages. And it's like I'm like, oh, let's because I take a kitchen knife. I'm like into these sausages, yes. The apple. What are they? The Adele's, whatever they're called.
Oh so yeah, Adele's. The Adele's. It's like
it
chicken
Adele's,
sausage flavored with crayon.
The chicken yeah. apple
it's
just sausage like, yeah. is no joke.
I know.
Even
but they
Ed,
have, like, so many.
Flavors. I get it. It's okay. Ed, the sausage guy,
well,
comes
you
out.
You get in trouble about chicken apple.
It's okay.
I don't know this bit.
we said on the first episode of the Goofball Show that how great would it be if there was just an app that. A guy would come over and cookie sausages.
Oh, yeah.
And that's his only thing. Yeah. But even Ed would like this. But this knife comes out. And the kitchen knife, it's like you're jamming it through. Even if it's got edges, I can figure it out, go around the side. Yeah. This thing, whoosh, Rambo's knife looks like a pussy knife. This and, Brett, you said you cut your finger on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we know this knife.
Well, this was I was opening up Estella. During the big show that we did with Bonnie and Kate. And I don't know, you had to open 14 different ones to get to the bottle opener.
And the way you put this knife back too, these little prongs.
Yeah, that you had
you got to be careful because this knife is like a dog like that with rabies.
Yeah.
That's just like ready to get you. You got to make sure, but go ahead.
So probably shouldn't have been opening this beer after
not,
the fact.
Not, how many did
it
you have?
It was also after the show, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it was
oh,
like,
no.
Maybe we because should have while one. You didn't notice this was happening because you were like getting some of us on the right. Oculus at the time.
Oh, yes. We'll talk about that too.
Yes. And so I took and I was closing it.
You're in the corner with a knife while we're in Malibu.
I'm like in a desert.
Beer open. Got a
Malibu.
Better
That's where
close.
I go, by the way. Instead of saying like Rio or Hawaii, I go, and you're out in Malibu.
A place you could actually go
you
to.
You could go there. Take 10 minutes to
get
there.
Yeah, but you could do it from here.
That's what you're in here. You don't even got to leave your house. But you're
I'm
juggling
like, well, this is dangerous. I don't want the kids to stumble upon this.
Right.
So in trying to shut it, I sliced my thumb open.
You're
but
lucky
it was
you
one of these,
it
was like, it's all right. You know?
And we look, what do? I get a paper mask.
Yeah.
And I wrap his finger in a mask.
Because there's no way Sadie would have had... You know, band-aids or anything.
I'll tell you who's not going into that house at that hour.
With blood on your hands.
With blood on your hands.
Hey,
everything's fine. It's fine. It's not even that bad. Meanwhile, it's like The Shining.
Dripping.
Yeah.
Sadie, knock, knock, knock. Two questions. One, do you have a band-aid? Two, do you have a rag to get the blood off the door? Because I just knocked blood all over your door.
It's all over the place. Yeah,
that's
right.
That was a fun night.
Mm.
It was fun.
Brett and I made it back to his house.
I gotta talk about this. So what people don't know for that episode of Wolf of Wall Street, which we all, I was definitely the most sober out of all of us. I had
you and Dave, I want to say.
Dave.
But
yeah.
Dave wasn't
Dave.
On.
No,
but
for those who were on. And I knew that I had to be in order to really steer the ship. But great response from the audience. They loved it. They had a lot of fun with it. But what I was very confused about was that I know you Ubered here. Oh, no. Your wife took you
there.
Yeah. You were going to Uber back.
Yes.
Right. You Ubered here.
No.
You did
I
not
drove
Uber
here and
oh, okay.
left my car. We had to come get it
That's
the next day.
That's what happened.
Yes,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. So you.
But that was always the plan.
That was always the plan.
Yeah.
So you. But where did they drive you?
the plan was always to leave here and go back to hang out with Lonnie and the kiddos.
I see.
I'm like, if I'm on this side of town, might as well hang out. Dickie's putting the kids to bed.
Yeah,
you don't want to go home early. You want to hang out. I get it.
I'm like, it looks like a cow teat. I'm gonna milk it. You know what I'm saying?
But you're no different than me or Brett or anything too. It's like you want to eat.
I invited myself to their house. Yeah. Like earlier that day, I was like, I'm coming over tonight if that's cool.
I'll be there for 2 weeks. Yeah, I get it.
Make a cut.
Dickie thinks we're doing a SEN camp that we have to be at.
Kate missed it. You heard it.
I didn't hear.
You said, Dickie thinks we're doing. I said, it.
It.
Oh. But I do. I saw The Sopranos. And I saw that thing. It's in the very first episode, the thing that we talked about. I mean, it's like he goes, I can't remember what the line is, but Paulie Walnuts says to, hey, Christopher, why don't you go, whatever he says, fuck your mother back. Hey, Sil, you hear what I says to him? And it's still sitting right next to him.
Yeah.
So he's like, what I told him is this. And it's one of the, Kate, you missed it, but what I said, you said doing, and I said it, right? Brett had heard it.
Yeah.
He smiled the first time awkwardly, like, move on. But then you brought it. I brought it back. Yeah. See, that's what I did.
I flipped it around.
See? Hey, guys, at the beginning of the show, I did a real funny face. Do you want me to show you it again?
Show me again. Show me again.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but Christian's like, here's the teacher.
Right.
And then I was like this.
And that's how you debuted the bit.
That's
your
the bit.
Your part of it.
That's the teacher look.
Hey.
If we're doing time codes, this is we revisit our bits.
Yes.
revisiting bits.
Yes, we're revisiting bits.
Wait, thank you for revisiting bits. That's what the show is now. Revisiting bits. This is why you listen to the audience about what they like and what they don't, because I am not going to pretend that we'll talk just pop culture and they'll love it. Steph was on and we started talking about like advice on her love life.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard it. Every comment was about the love life advice and all that and listen, because the three of us have been in her time period.
Yes.
Right? So, like, listening to the story.
I've never been in that body, but I've been in that time period.
You break your own balls all the time.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Are you trying to say you had a nice body? You still have a nice body. But I'm talking about, you're talking about the 20s. Like, and I said, you have a nice body. You're nice. No, that's why I said my wife, too. Like,
oh, my God. Steph's.
She's ugly.
Literally, when we went out with, because I met her in person finally last week.
In person,
I looked at her and I was
gross.
Can I see if it's real? And she knew exactly what I was talking about.
And she gave you a little.
Gave me
twist.
The side. She gave me the side twist. That waist to ass ratio is not beatable.
Human. Oh,
it's not. It's you can't beat it.
Anyway. Quit following her on Instagram immediately. I can't have that in my house.
Did you stop following her?
I almost. It was just like, I'm like, oh, let's see the stories. All right, honey.
I work with her.
She's a friend.
Get new friends.
She wants love advice from me.
Yeah.
Right. So funny when I was, but that was the stuff that we were talking about. And it was like, and even when you and I are talking about like the kids, I just feel like I'm on the porch hanging out, listening to my friends talk. That's always been the goal of Schmoes and even Collider Live and just kind of go back and forth with whatever we're watching or what we're talking about. I did watch that Chris Pratt movie on Amazon. I bailed on it. And not because of the normal.
You bailed on it. Unbelievable.
You know what's funny? I did Christian Bale on it because normally it's a Sadie Bale and it wasn't.
Yeah.
We were watching it together and she's usually like, I don't want to watch this. And I looked, I go, I'm fucking bored. I'm bored. She's like, you never want to do that. I was like, I'm bored. And I posted on Twitter because I think PJ had said he watched it. I said, I bailed. Should I stick around? And a lot of people were like, just the first part of it's kind of boring, but it gets better. So I'll probably finish it because I like to finish the movies. But it's like one of the main things, and Sadie pointed it out, and she's right. Why do all the aliens these days look the same? It's the same fucking aliens. It's like an alien dog with the stupid like thing that comes out and they have like 8,000 rows of teeth and it looks like the same shit over and over and over again. It's like one artist is getting hired to do the same alien. It's like, why can't they be like different kind of beings that are almost like, whether it's like Avatar being or like, or even the stuff like Independence Day.
Yeah.
Those aliens were creepy, right? And if they were running around with kind of blasters and stuff.
You know the ones I loved was the one in that Amy Adams.
Arrival, right.
Arrival.
Yeah, those
were,
they were good.
Those were like.
Those were good aliens.
Like pig-like tentacles.
Yeah, that was.
To this day, that movie is the best representation of like what I think time travel is, how it really would work.
Yes.
And like the like being able to move yourself, your consciousness through time. And
yes.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never really thought about tools until I bought a house in the suburbs. It's like this weird homeowner test if I need a tool for a project and don't have it. And my neighbor Ted loves to give me that look when I ask to borrow a pole saw. A year ago, I didn't even know pole saws existed. And now I gotta borrow one from Ted? What is happening?
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
The way that they do it, there is no like linear the Back to the Future model, which is for movie fans a sacrilege to bring up, but it's not. it is the most inaccurate representation of time like ever. But it is a great film.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I've turned the Prius C into a time machine. And
this is you're actually from
yesterday.
Do you know today is actually the date that he was going? No, it isn't. Stop posting the picture.
It's true, but the Arrival's phenomenal.
Yeah,
but anyway, watching that movie, the Chris Pratt movie, and it's do you know
Tomorrow
what it's about?
War or
something like that. Yeah, Tomorrow War.
Ryan was talking about it.
Did you like it?
I don't think he was speaking too highly of it.
It's kind of I was just bored by it. I got to finish it up, and I have watched 9 episodes of The Sopranos in 2.5 days of the first season, and it's like every chance I get. It's very similar when I watched The Wire when I was temping at Warner Brothers at the time, in between when I was working there full-time in production, and then I went to go off and do my own thing, but I was, to pay the bills, I was
watching.
Yes. Yes,
while temping. So I remember being at many desks of executives and stuff too, and just having so much downtime, I was watching The Wire all day long, and then I would go home, though, and I find my time to then watch The Wire again.
Yes.
And that's what I'm doing right now. What's great is that my sister-in-law is in town, right?
Oh.
So she's in town with my nephew. And so they're watching this Kevin Costner movie the other day that's on HBO Max that apparently is like, it's not a thriller as listed. It's like a heartbreaking story. My wife came in and gave me, like, woke me up out of a sleep and was like hugging me.
Oh.
And I'm like, this movie must have been fucked up. Because she don't like to be bothered when she's sleeping.
Are you leaving?
Yeah.
Or was this movie?
There was a guy named Christian.
Right.
Who had two daughters. And it was just very, it hit home.
It was very sweet. And but that allowed me, because the movie's like 2.5 hours, I was blasting through episodes of Sopranos in my room and just watching. And it's such a great rewatch after. Have you ever seen it, the show?
I've watched only bits and pieces of it.
You gotta see it.
But Dickie always talks about, like, when he talks about, like, the writing of, because he's always interested in, like, the story, right? So, and I'm always like, I love the acting. But he talks about the how Sopranos did something so simple with it, which is just, like, ducks in the pool.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like then one day they're gone. Like, and he like tries to like figure out like what's the simple stories don't have to be overly everything doesn't have to be Tenet.
No.
You know?
No, and the thing
and I'm shitting on a movie I didn't see, but I'm pretty sure.
No, I know what you mean. It is complicated though. But the thing with Sopranos is that even in the setup in the start where with the psychiatrist and he's there and he's talking to her and it's this throwback to him and his childhood, but it sets up both families.
Yeah.
Because you also have to realize that this is 1999 or something when this came out, and there were no shows like this. And there was certainly no shows where the antagonist was the person you were going to be rooting for. Yeah. And it's even, I was reading, there's an episode, like, you need to watch this show. You would love this show. Like, there's an episode called College, which is a famous episode. You'll be spoiled, but you won't care.
Okay.
Dumbledore
dies.
Yes.
Yes.
He goes to, he's taking his daughter to look at colleges. She's like a junior in high school.
Meadow.
Yes.
Meadow.
Jamie
that sounds like second. Something fucking, that's a name that people give their kids now. Arrow and Meadow.
Meadow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And who's going to, Meadow Soprano. So she goes and she's looking at, they're doing like tours of schools and he's taking her because the wife is sick, right? So as going up there, there's this parallel between his like both families, how it interprets his life, and even his daughter says to him, "Are you in the mafia?" And he's like, "What?" He's like, "There is no mafia." She's like the smart one. The daughter's like the dopey one. I mean, the son's like the dopey one. And he finally tells her like says yes without really admitting to too much. She understood. She's like, "I'm not an idiot." But while he's there, he sees a guy that he's like, "I know that guy. I know that guy." And he realizes that it was a rat from back in the day. That was like 10 years ago. And the guy sees him too.
Does the guy get nervous?
He gets very nervous because he's in witness protection program.
Oh my God.
And he's the whole time he's looking around. The rat is going back and forth, like looking, and Tony's making phone calls. He's like, "No, I got to handle this myself." Then Tony's leaving Tony like has to like maneuver. He leaves his daughter at like the bar so he can go spy on this guy in his house. And it's like they're both playing cat and mouse stuff. The guy goes to the hotel and he's got a gun on Tony and his kid. And then he goes back and he's like, "Yeah, maybe it's just coincidence." And he goes to take off. And then he's at his place and the next day. And this is obviously major spoilers if you didn't know this already, if you haven't seen The Sopranos. But he's.
I think we've had enough time.
I think we've had enough time. So, yeah. But the rat is there talking to these two like junkies and like, "I want you to go with a shotgun and take this guy out, him and his daughter," blah, blah, blah. And they're like, "Fuck this." And he's like, "You're not getting any." He's like, I'll tell you about that fire." And they're like, "Fuck you." And they leave. And the guy's like outside by these trailers. And Tony comes up behind him, wraps around his fucking cord, and kills the guy. Takes him out. And HBO, when this was presented, was like, "Fuck no, we can't have the lead of the guy just murder somebody in cold blood." And David Chase is like, "That's who this motherfucker is.
Yeah, that's who this guy is. That's right."
And he's like, so, you know, that's the brilliance of James Gandolfini is that you're like, "Oh, it's Tony." When you're realizing this guy's a fucking murderer. It's the same thing that Leo does in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
Jordan Belfort is not a good dude. And yet you still are kind of rooting for him strangely, even though like, I shouldn't be rooting for him because this is all illegal stuff. And you're like, "Good, I'm glad he got caught. I'm glad all this happened." But you're like, but you're with him because Leo's so charming and he's big. And that's St. Gandolfini does a despicable thing in one episode. And then he's playing with his kids doing like Nintendo in the living room. You're like, he's a good father, but yet he's a murderer.
Yeah, yeah.
He is. But he has this, and the reason why, going back to what Dickie said, with the writing, like last night, the episode I'm on, it's like episode 9, there's like this school teacher, or he's a soccer teacher, and he's managing all these kids, and the mob fathers are watching for their daughters play, and this guy's helping the kids get scholarships, and he goes to get another job somewhere else. The coach, and they're like, "Fuck it, we can't let him leave." And they all want him, so they start like dropping TVs off at his house. And he's like, "Oh, you can't intimidate me from staying." And like Christopher like takes his dog. He goes, "Oh, I found your dog." He's like, "My dog's upstairs." He's like, "You sure?" And he's like, and he comes out and he's like, "Where's my reward?" And the guy's like, "What?" He's like, "Ah, I'm just kidding. I'm a dog lover." He take it easy. He takes off, right? And then they find out that this teacher was fucking one of the kids.
Oh. Uh-oh.
And then Tony and everyone and Sylvia's like, "This little girl, my daughter's got a thing about this shit." And he's like, and so Tony's like childhood friend, Artie Bucco, who is like the chef.
Yes.
He's not part of the mob, not part of any of this. And he's like, "Take this guy out, let's come." And his wife has a conversation with him, realizing it. So Artie goes in there and talks to Tony. He's like, we can't do this. He's like, "What's it going to do? It's going to make you feel better. It's going to make me feel better, but it's not going to help that girl. It's not going to help my kid, your kid." And it reflects this inside of Tony's conversations that he's having with the psychiatrist. Even she's like, "If you're telling me you're planning on hurting this dude, I got to go to the authorities." Like, what's it going to do for you? And he goes nuts. But it plays inside of this, all this therapy that he's talking about. He even throws Artie out. He pushes Artie out of the door. But he ultimately doesn't do it. He calls Silvio off, and he says to him, "Just get out of there." And Silvio's like, "Fuck," and leaves. But Tony gets so hammered, and he falls down in the middle of the living room. And Carmella's like picking up, and Meadow's watching this whole shit go down, and he's hammered. I mean, and Gandolfini's so brilliant as an actor, you're like, he's shithoused, right?
Yeah.
So Carmella's, he goes, and Tony very deadpan goes, "Calm, I didn't hurt nobody." And like tell that town to give the shrink a raise or whatever it was, because it was all of that. Like before therapy, that guy's dead.
That guy's dead.
Yeah.
No
he's
question.
Dead. And he winds up getting arrested, and he winds up, you know, all over the news and all that too. But that's the brilliance of the writing of that.
And
episode.
Also just the premise is so simple. Right. It's a mobster.
Yeah. With a family, two families.
Who goes to therapy.
Right.
Like, The dichotomy of that.
It was, yeah, and
we loved Boardwalk, which I know is Terrence Winter.
Yeah,
but like I don't.
Well, Scorsese produced it, I believe.
Did he?
I believe so. Yeah.
So,
I got The Wire and Boardwalk. I gotta do.
Oh my God, yeah. Boardwalk. But what was the first? Was it Sex and the City or H? Like, what was the first premium television? Was it Sopranos?
I want to tell you Sopranos. Well, not first, because I talked about this. You guys will remember this because I talked about it at the barbecue. Nobody knew what the fuck I was talking about. Dream On. Mm. Do you not remember Dream On?
No, I don't.
You might be a little younger. You're a little younger than us. But Dream Barely. On. But Dream On was really the first, way ahead of its time. It was an HBO sitcom, but it was raw. There's nudity, there's sex, there's all that stuff. But the guy thought in old time movies. Like, so when something like if you said, if there was like some awkward situation with the guy at a bar with a woman, she's like, I'm going to go home and cut off your penis, right? And then you would see this clip from like an old movie of a guy going, oh, you know, and then it cuts back. Cause he would think in like these old school movies because he saw so many. And it's Brian Benben, who is, he's Madeline Stowe's. They're still married, those two.
Who?
Remember Madeline Stowe from,
I know.
Madeline Stowe.
Set up for both of us.
Madeline Stowe was in Unlawful Entry, Last of the Mohicans.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Looks like Winkleman's ex-girlfriend. Remember?
Bonnie Somerville?
No, Yada Martinez, who's also an actress.
Oh.
She was in The Tick. She's in. Okay. She's been on Collider Live. I don't know if you were on there too, a friend of mine. But anyway, so yeah, that was the first one, that HBO show, Dream On. And I wonder if it's on HBO Max. I don't think so.
It's got to be. Don't you think?
Maybe. Hopefully some people go check it out. Because so that was really the first one I remember. And then there were other ones like Spawn was an animated series, Todd McFarlane, that was very raw and rough. You'll see those types of shows now on Netflix. Or shit, even look at Invincible and things like that. But
hour-long dramas.
I think Sopranos was one of the first ones on. It changed the game as far as cable was doing and what, you know, it ultimately, yeah, it changed the game tremendously.
HBO, I feel like Dickie and I have this bit where, like, especially when we lived in a condo, if we were watching an HBO show and there's undoubtedly going to be a rough sex scene at some point.
Oh, yeah.
There's just going to be, and we would just yell out, it's just HBO, because we didn't want our neighbors to think that he was, like, beating me in the face while I said, like, yes, daddy, please, more daddy. Like, it was like, it's just HBO, guys.
That was one of their ads. It's just hardcore sex against a refrigerator, and then the girl stops and goes, just HBO.
Just HBO. Yeah. But, like, that's, like, now you look at where network television is, it's like getting there.
Well, and it's funny though too, when you go back to, well, they have to, right? Because they got to try to
keep up.
But when you go to watch episodes of Sopranos, and now when you watch them, you'll see episodes of Sopranos when you go and watch it, and you're like, wow, that's pretty raw. And but in your head, you go, well, I've seen this type of stuff now in Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad.
Yes. That Rome.
What Rome? But that wasn't happening. This was, like, again, 99, I think this came out. I can't remember if Sex and the City was first. I don't think it was. I think Sopranos was first. I think it was a big thing. And it might have been 98 when they started promoting it. People will tell us in the comments for sure. But
we can look at them right now.
That is time travel. Is that we can shoot this now and talk about the comments, and then we're going to have to go back in a future date to read what people think about this in the past.
To revisit. The same way they did for, like, the Wolf of Wall Street episode.
Yeah.
Which was, people were definitely digging
it. By the way, I was right. It was Training Day. Denzel got his Oscar for.
Yeah, I know.
Someone corrected me during the show.
Oh.
Really? Mm-hmm. Who was that? Bonnie correct you?
I don't know.
You don't remember.
Definitely wasn't you.
No, Training Day is what he won for. But that wasn't what the conversation was. Drunky Magoo. The conversation was what was the year before that he didn't win for.
No, I know. I said, but then he did.
He won for Training Day.
Yeah,
I think everybody knew that. But the year before was Hurricane.
Right.
That was the one that everyone thought he should have won for.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he did not.
Speaking of all this. You have all the streaming stuff and everything that you can do. I reached out recently to let you guys know about ExpressVPN, because ExpressVPN has been very helpful to us. It has been very helpful to people who have been listening, because a lot of you guys don't read that fine print that appears when you start browsing in incognito mode. If you go into that mode, What it says is that your activity still might be visible to your employer, your school, your internet service provider. And how do you call that incognito? It's not incognito. To really stop people from seeing the sites that you visit, you need to do what we do, and you have to use ExpressVPN. Think about all the times that you've used Wi-Fi at a coffee shop or a hotel or even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site that you visit could be logged by the admin of that network. And that's still true, even when you're in incognito mode. Do you want your parents to see what you've been looking at? Kate certainly doesn't. What's more is your internet provider. I'm talking Comcast or AT&T, whatever. You can also see and record your browsing data. You don't want them to do that. And in the U.S., they're legally allowed to sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so that your private online activity stays just that. Private, mother effs. ExpressVPN, it works on every device, and it's super easy to use. The app literally just has one button. You tap it to connect, and your browsing activity is secure from those prying eyes. So this is what you got to do. You just stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/SEN. The link is in the description. Use that link at expressvpn.com/SEN. You get 3 extra months free. expressvpn.com/SEN to learn more. Let's see. Yeah, but going back into what I was talking about to you guys with that alien movie and Pratt, I think I will give it another shot. I think I am going to try to finish it.
I didn't finish it.
I bailed on it, dude. I just was so bored. And it's long. Yeah. That's the problem with streaming stuff when they, like, look at you and your favorite movie, The Irishman, right? There's no world where that movie, where they let Scorsese put out that long of a movie into theaters, because those types of movies don't play in theaters, and it's hard to do. And I think it allows people like him or other directors to say, yeah, we don't want to do a 2-hour, we're going to do 2:30. I'm like, yeah, it's streaming. That's fine. People can watch it in 2 days.
Why wouldn't you just completely bail on this one? Like, is it, there's enough redeeming factors? Because
I didn't think it was a terrible movie.
Okay.
I wasn't like that Eternals movie. What was that one?
Infinity.
Infinity.
Yeah.
That thing was terrible. We watched the whole fucking thing.
Oh.
It was terrible,
and I liked the
trailer.
The trailer was great. Like, this is gonna be fun.
It was like the first like 20 minutes. I was like, okay, this is gonna be cool. It was awful, and how we didn't bail on that, I have no idea. But like this, I think maybe because it wasn't boring, it was awful but not boring.
Yeah,
this is boring but not awful. Yeah,
I feel like in life in general now, I feel like I've gotten to an age where, like, you gotta, like, I don't want to be your friend if I don't like you the first time I meet you. Right. I don't want to.
My time is limited.
Yeah. Here, okay.
So convince me.
What I need is I need this show to be good in the first 30 seconds.
Yes. Right.
And
have rough sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Needs to be.
And do I have to yell? We still yell it in our house, by the way. We're still like, it's just HBO.
Right.
Like, as if the kids were.
Even if it's Paw Patrol and someone's sniffing another ass.
You guys, it's just HBO. Zelda.
Yeah, she was showing me the Zelda, which I've heard my son playing it, but I never put two and two together.
Go ahead,
with this.
Go to a store.
Yeah, the.
Why doesn't Zelda change that now? Like, can add voice? Like, back in Nintendo,
there are voices sometimes.
Sometimes,
like, there's like a couple of bosses that are like, hey, welcome to my river kingdom.
Yeah.
But like, why they have little.
And maybe,
like,
it's just nostalgia stuff?
I don't know. But did old Zelda used to have Asian women moaning?
Yeah,
basically, to
was,
sell
yeah,
you goods?
It, yeah, it's.
Oh.
I'm just buying, like, some rupees.
Yeah. Some root beer? Is it?
Rupees.
Oh.
I just want to get some. I'm just trying to sell some fish for rupees.
And you walk. There's another game. It's very similar. And you walk by and it goes,
yes.
I don't know what that is.
And the guys, for the most part, sound like they're just like challenging you to a stand. They're like, hi-ya. Hi-ya. It's like.
It is.
You played that on Brett and Kate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is so this is
very
this porn?
Fancy setup.
Is this yeah, very fancy setup.
It's on Fridays, by the way.
Kate put an iPad up against her television, and then or no one showing her. Like we're talking, this was a high class setup. This is how that Twitch how shit that, where it's where it's clear and you can see everything.
You
on
want
the screen.
It to be pixelized.
She's like, what should glare? I do? And Courtney was so sweet. She was like, do you guys need help setting this up? And Brett was like, nah, Kate's going to use a couple of iPads.
Pretty sure she's just going to set an iPad up in front of and really like, far back. You don't want to be close to the screen either. You want to...
yeah, be really as far back as you can.
Anyway, become an SCN patron so you can catch that
you
great
can catch
content.
It is. It's every Friday. And and we're there's going to be lots of changes to SCN Patreon in general. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening over there. So there is SCN Patreon and Schmodown Patreon. Please go and check both of those out. What else are you guys, you're luckier than the two of us because you and Lonnie are at a point with your kids where you can find shows that you guys can actually really get into at any time because we have limited time of one weekend. We got to make sure the kids are sleeping and everything too, as opposed to what you're doing. So what do you guys
well,
watching
we,
right
we
now?
Also do because this is what happens. It's like they don't want to spend any time with us.
Right.
You put and something on as soon as the tits come out. That's when they. Oh, I need water. Why you didn't? You haven't. You've been in your room for 5 hours.
Right.
You know. So and so.
Well, Brett, I think that's why they needed water.
Yeah.
Well,
they've
been in their room for 5 hours.
Oh, but your
so,
son.
Hey, Daddy.
And how old's your son?
14.
Of course he's going to come out when the tits come out. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's 14 years old.
Well, and Lonnie, sometimes she'd watch shows on her own.
Do you remember that night? Brett's thing is that, like, Blake doesn't engage with anybody.
Yeah.
He's just, oh, gave me a hug. Do you remember this?
Yeah,
of course.
No, he's a good kid.
A new
kid.
Blonde woman shows up to his house. He's 14 years old.
He's found bowling now. He's a different kid.
Yeah. That and Last of Us.
Yeah. Yeah, hey.
Yeah, someone suggested you guys review that together.
Oh.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
That would be fun
he
to
won't
see.
Do it.
he's not the camera guy, huh?
No, he's in a weird, weird place right now.
Yeah.
And
he's
it's
in a 14-year-old place.
Yeah, because he's all over the place with the hormones and things.
You're right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lydia's like, did I hear a camera shutter?
I'm telling you, when I walked in, I was like, so I hear you doing commercials. She's like, just book one today.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, asshole.
Yeah.
She's, they're the coolest.
Yeah, I'm like, dial that down now.
Right.
She's, no, stop. She's very humble. It's a lot of work for her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not, no.
But what we're into now is Rick and Morty again.
Oh, yeah?
We started that back up. But nice.
The newest season's incredible.
It's. That show is so good, but also nothing I could watch with even my 14-year-old.
Will you sell me on this show? Because after you told me to watch it, I tried, and I just couldn't get into it. Why should I listen? Why should I watch this show?
I think it's just so smart and funny.
Well, that's why. I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, that's the thing. I don't get, yeah. Me too. Some of the stuff I'm like, the time travel. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's like when I used to watch, you know, like Dennis Miller's stand up. I'd laugh at it. I didn't know what he was talking,
right.
reference he was making. But it was still, there was something about the delivery. The delivery of this is so fun. I mean, it's raunchy as hell. You can't watch this with kids, you know, but it's I don't know. I don't know what it is. Do you watch it at all?
No, Dickie watches every once in a while.
And they're small. Those are nice little palate cleansers. It's like you do a Handmaid's Tale, you know, and instead of crying yourself to sleep about
it's what, funny, this show?
Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
It's
hilarious.
Dennis watches it all the time, too. I remember him from when he would talk to me about it on Collider or AMC, and he loved it. And people love this show. I just remember you telling me this. And I watched the pilot, or whatever it was, and I just wasn't in the headspace.
Very fast paced.
Yes,
like it's got the same vibe. I feel like, but deeper of like
South Park.
Yes, or like family, like just like really quick. Like if you miss the joke. They're not going to wait for you to catch
it. And it's basically a spoof off of Back to the Future, right?
Yeah, in a sense. You know, I mean, but with just a filthy grandfather who could give a shit about his grandson, but he needs him, he takes him on these missions. And
it sounds right up my alley.
Oh, they're screaming at each other. Yeah. The, and I think and I hate to say this because I hate when people do this, you got to give it a few to get the vibe of it. And they're short. And
I don't hate that as much when people say that. I know, well, because even though I'm with Kate, that you got to hook me, like, you got to hook me because I have so much time.
3 seconds.
Yeah.
But I do understand those vibes sometimes where the people who do stick around, if they say to you, I get why you bailed, but stick around because it does get better. There are some shows. Look, Seinfeld, man. Seinfeld, when it came out, it was close to being canceled
after
the first season. The ratings were in a shitter, and they switched stuff up, and people were like, no, check this show out now. It's really good. And people,
The Wire's like that, too.
See, I didn't feel that way with The Wire.
I feel like people are like, I could not with that first episode.
Really?
And I was like,
okay. I think that's the most perfect.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I could not agree more.
You stole my shit. You stole my line.
I did?
I couldn't agree more. You're the one that brought it to light, fucko.
If there was a way to agree more, I could not possibly do it.
Much better. See, presentation. I hear what you're saying. Like, some people, when they started, I think people felt that way for that show in the second season.
Yes.
Like, I love the second season of The Wire. The docs, love it. But there are a lot of people who say, oh, I almost bailed after that second season.
Oh, right. Wood Harris is still there, y'all. Harris is still there.
Well, look at, The Sopranos, right? Like, that's why I'm going back and watching it, because I watched it week to week when it came out. Oh. And you had to wait for The Sopranos for like 2 years at one point in between seasons, whether it was contract negotiations or whatever it was. I'm looking forward to watching it as like all the way straight through the way I did for The Wire, because my expectations of what I thought was going to happen and the wait for certain things are gone, right? The same way we always talk about movies, where when you're if they're like a Star Wars movie, and it's 3 years before the next one comes out, and the last one sucked, you're like, oh, you go in like kind of, all right, let's hope the next one's better, as opposed to watching The Mandalorian, which is week by week, and you're like, well, if that episode sucks, then next week, hopefully it's better, right? And now with The Sopranos, after like, I didn't like that season, and waiting 2 years later for the next one, playing it all together, I want to see how I react to it, because I remember first season, I always liked Breaking Bad overall.
Yeah.
When you compare the seasons, I liked Breaking Bad better than Sopranos when it came to overall content and story, right? I relate more to The Sopranos because of the East Coast thing, and I remember, not
and
mobsters
also,
per
and
se.
Also because he's in the mafia.
Because I'm in the mafia. But I grew up with people like that, and the way that people talk, and even when I watch it, like last night, and hearing things like even here, like there's certain things that, let me make it very clear, Olivia Soprano and my mom are very different, but there's a lot of things that they say, like, oh, poor you, right? And like, and that type of stuff, like, oh, what, I don't need to go there. Like, that's my mother. That's fine. Just don't worry about it. It's just
bring a jacket.
Oh, is that what you think? Is that's how you think of me? And like those types of things, but just certain ways that they talk to each other and all that. That's always going to be my connection to The Sopranos for sure. But watching it together, like, I didn't like season five. I think I was disappointed by it. And at first when the ending happened, but after reading all the shit I read about the ending now, that it's different. Do you know what happens at the end?
I saw the finale.
Okay. Yeah. Well, because that's not strange.
Well,
everyone's like a
phenomenon. I didn't watch the entire show. Yeah. And I remember being like, uh-oh, cable went out. That sucks. That's fucking it. Nothing, and Dickie disagrees with me on this, nothing makes me madder in a television or film when
they make you guess what happened. Well,
and it's just like, it's just fucking lazy to me.
I've said that before, too. I want it laid out on a platter, but with The Sopranos, I didn't mind it, and I kind of liked it because
it's
you were
going
to piss people off either way.
Either way.
And I'll
so
tell you
this
what.
Way it was like, eh.
It's funny because initially, when I saw it, I feel the way you do as describing it. But after all the reading up on it and looking at the scene and understanding what's happening, I feel the way you do. Because when you, and it's different because if you watch it on the first, you just watch the finale, but don't watch the series, you should feel the way that you felt. Because you don't have all the other context that leads up to it, that pieces stuff together that you go, oh, is that? Mm-hmm. Shit. Because to you, it's like, they just went black. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So if you watch the series, and then I sent you like, and granted, it's asking you to do a lot of work.
Right.
When you could just be like, well, did he die or not?
Right.
As opposed to when you do the reading, like, oh, that's what is set up there. It's actually this particular scene is actually brilliantly written.
I bet that's the case.
Yes.
I'm thinking most recently of this Ryan Gosling. No.
There's a lot of things. I'm with you normally.
Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Which one was that?
There was like with like a spider thing, and there's like he's like a twin.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what movie you're talking about.
I can't remember it.
I like that fucking weird movie.
The show made my brain stop working.
Right, I know exactly what you're thinking about, but I like that weird movie. But
I was like, this was a piece of garbage.
You know what's so weird about anything, that?
And Dickie's like, I fucking loved it.
You know,
I'm like, we're done here.
What's so weird about that movie is that should be a movie by all accounts that my wife and I are like, what did we just watch? It is. I think that is why we wound up liking it, because it's so brilliantly directed.
It's an incredibly,
what
is it's
so weird.
Watch.
I gotta find the
it's called.
Name of it. I'll tell you in a second.
Hold don't on. Do drugs, kids. That's
is
what
it,
it's
is it the with an art? Is it in the art world or whatever? Is that a different?
No, it's
one?
Like he's a dude that he's a. It's like it's there's two of him. We never understand why they have the same scar. We don't know if he's a clone. There's a weird thing with spiders.
Yeah.
And by the way, I loved Arrival.
It's called Enemy.
Enemy.
Yeah, it's called Enemy. But
by the way, that still doesn't ring a bell. You looked it up and you were telling me that's the name of the movie.
But I can't. That's one of those movies I remembered immediately when you said that, because, like I said, by all accounts, my wife should hate that movie, and we both liked it. It was so entertaining.
But
I'm normally with you though when it comes to that. There's a few movies like that one I didn't mind. Inception, I didn't mind at all, because I do think there's a clear answer there. So that's why. But
Inception, I at least thought there was a premise that they. Yeah. I just feel like if they have a premise and they're going to leave it open, that's fine. I felt like Enemy didn't have a fucking premise.
Well,
they're just like spiders.
No, but I don't like sometimes it's like, well, did they do it? You figure it out, and it's just meant for the director or the writer for their next like press junket that they do to go. Oh, so what happened to that movie? And it's like, come on.
What do you think?
Yeah, but there are certain I did feel that way initially about The Sopranos. I don't anymore because of the way that it's set up, and like I've just read so many different theories about it. That one has become more fun over the years.
And it didn't seem even at the time. Well, I actually came into it later. I was having DVDs delivered to my house.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the Netflix was a service that delivered DVDs.
What was better than those Red Envelopes?
They still do the Netflix DVDs, but
really,
there's still an option to do it.
You lie.
I swear to God, I looked at. I didn't realize it still existed, but I went to my. I went. When this is a question probably nobody really does. How often do you manage your account, your Netflix account, on your computer?
I didn't know I still was carrying stars.
Right. So you can go. There's an option. They still get DVDs.
That's great.
It's crazy. Well,
that is great.
All the old peeps.
Yeah.
Because honestly, there's a lot of stuff where, like, I can't find it. I'll have to buy it on Amazon or whatever.
Well, and didn't they have a thing, though, too? There was stuff you could get on DVD that you couldn't stream.
Yes. Yes.
Their streaming was shit. Like,
it was back then.
Without kids, that would have been gone a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. But so let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Remember when I told you that when it comes to the exercising and everything, or whatever, just doing this work that people do, like I hurt my back one time parallel parking, right? I have a new thing that is even worse than that.
What?
I hurt myself breathing today.
That's the first thing that you said to me today. You're like, no, I didn't pull a muscle bowling.
Yeah, I might pull a groin muscle.
Breathing.
Yeah.
Not just bowling, breathing. I was driving to making a left-hand turn, and I'm sitting, I go, oh, like, what? And I laughed. I go, I'm breathing. I'm not even, like, turning around and stretching. I'm just breathing.
Throw your back out sneezing.
Crazy,
that one,
dude.
I understand, but
again,
breathing.
If you're going like this,
yeah.
Hey, oh, all right, wow, I hurt myself. Switching to go to the back. I went like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, in the back here, and I don't know,
no.
And I'm like, it's like muscles, but I think it's because of the exercise,
yeah, yes,
right? And that's exactly what it is. But either way, it was really funny, and I started laughing because it was so stupid. But it did remind me, like, because I've been talking to you guys on this Oculus thing about the Supernatural program. We'll talk to you about it in a second. But there's low intensity, medium, and then hard. So badass me, after I've been doing like low intensity, I'm ready for medium. Right, and so for those people who don't know, for Supernatural, you have this trainer, and they're kind of telling you what to do, and it's similar to what is it, the Beat Saber, where there's music and there's orbs and you're like hitting stuff up, but the music in Supernatural, it's all licensed and the trainers are there, they're talking to you, and you've got to do these big arm movements and you got to expand your chest and all that stuff, and I was doing it. And after, like, I'm like, all right, I'm low intensity now. Medium's all right. So medium starts, and I'm like, all right, I got the hang of it. Then they start throwing out, like, 7,000 of these fucking orbs. And I'm like, no. My form went out the window, and I looked like a cartoon Warner Brothers character, like moving around. So I'm like, fuck this. And then I went right back to low intensity because I'm like, you just. Like,
you gotta, I tried low intensity.
You did low intensity. Jesus yeah, Christ, yeah, yeah. That's yeah. what I mean. So it's and it was But yeah, I'm not ready yet. I'll let you guys know when I am. Yeah,
boost that up.
It was, but it was because when I'm doing the low intensity, I feel like a ninja, and I'm like moving my like, and I might look like an idiot, but I feel like I'm in like you know one of those old school kung fu movies because I'm moving myself, and I'm like yeah. you know when they do like that superhero pose in every movie when they jump down they do that
yeah,
thing
yeah.
yeah I think they even make reference to it in Black Widow. That's how I feel like I'm doing like the samurai pose at the end where I finish, and I probably don't look anything like that, yeah. but I feel that way when I'm doing it. But not, I knew what I looked like and felt what I looked like at high. like an absolute idiot.
Bees were chasing you.
if I was lucky, it was looked like bees. But you played the.
I played that night.
I knew you were gonna love it.
I love it. Listen, when you get me in the groove.
You were dancing.
Oh my God. And I don't know what I looked like. I felt like.
Looked like you were dancing.
But I was like, and it's like, I get it. Yeah. Explain it. Get your booty down a little lower. I mean, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I definitely was like.
Yeah. Yeah. You sweat, man.
Afterwards.
Yeah, you sweat. So.
Sweat. So it's like, it's really a workout. I did something out here in LA. Just before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Nothing sounds worse than this right now, knowing about COVID, but it's a dance party. You go, you're in a crowded dance room, like they rent out a dance studio, you pay like $10 or something. They turn off all the lights, and there's somebody that's a DJ for that day. So they made a playlist in advance, and you just for an hour, you're not allowed to talk. It's almost like a rave. They've just got, if you feel unsafe or whatever, you can like go get water or whatever, right. But it's just like they turn off all the lights, and it was all women. That was the other thing too. Yeah. It's all women, but they just turn off the lights and you're just dancing and like, however, you're just vibing.
Yeah.
I swear I burned 1 million calories sure. that day. Cause you just get into it and yeah. nobody's looking at anybody. It's my perfect nightmare now. you yeah, want I'm me sure. in a room with other people with the lights off.
But that's why I had you do this yeah. because this is what is fun for me, like
yes.
I have fun doing this yes. program and this listening to the music and it has all types of genres and everything too. And you're moving, and I burn like 250 to 300 calories a day on it's that amazing. Program. So it's like, are you had said you were? Are you considering getting it?
I'm considering getting it, but also we've had to
scale
have
back.
Some serious money. Well, here's the thing. I don't know how you guys are. Like the more money, like Dickie's making some money yeah. again now. And we know now that when Dickie makes money, we have to spread it out over the course of four
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
So I get more, the more money we make, the more stingy I get, like the more, makes but sense, as soon yeah. as I see that account's like nearing zero, I'm like, let's spend it all.
Right.
So like right now we're like Vegas on a pant. We're like, we're going to pay off the van.
Yeah.
And then we're going to build the savings back up.
Right.
So
you have a plan.
We have a plan.
I like the plan. I said it's a good way to do it. So this is why I tell people here that keep tagging me and tag Oculus because we need to get a sponsor for Oculus.
Oh, my God. We have to.
Because this is one of those things where it's like, we just want to get a free Oculus. I want to tell people about Oculus. This, yeah. If you get an Oculus and you do this program, you will have fun working out. I don't have fun working out. I always take what my friend Scott Herman used to say back in college. Why am I going to lift weights for fun?
Yeah.
Why am I going to lift heavy things
I don't
for fun?
Get how people are like obsessed with that.
It's the same thing. It's like I don't – there's a lot of different – like same thing
it's
that people
have.
It's
the closest you'll come to sucking your own dick.
Is that
– No offense, Mark Ellis.
Yeah. But people do enjoy going to the gym. But it's yes. not just about the – looking at yourself, it's a feeling better thing.
Yeah.
There's an exercise yeah. thing that some people do enjoy going to the gym and doing that stuff. That's never been my thing. Music is to yes. me helps me write. It helps me do everything else. And so when I'm listening to music and it's getting that form down, that's the main, it's like anything, anytime I'm working out, but getting the form down, that's why I knew going like this, my medium is not working for me, because when I'm doing the low intensity, they're saying, make sure you have big arm movements. I'm like, I got big arm movements, motherfucker. I'm like, I know what I'm doing. And then when they're saying, don't swat, and I'm certainly swatting. So, but you figure it out and you start listening and you're playing like a video game, but you're sweating.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to tell people, like, if you're able to, get an Oculus Quest. Because my buddy was over. It's great.
It's great.
My buddy was over for 4th of July, and we were talking about it, and it's like it's super helpful. It's a super helpful program, and I think that VR in general, that's what we were talking about, is that it's going to be so different in like 10 years. This is like the VCR version of what we're going to get in 10 years.
That's wild to me, because the thing that I didn't like about this was coming out of it.
Right.
I loved being
there. Yeah.
I was just like,
she said it like six times. She's like, who would ever want to come back?
I don't want to come back. Yeah. It was like, you're really immersed.
They're getting better on that program too, because I don't know where they put me the other day, but I might've been like Colorado or something. I'm like on these rocks.
Yeah.
But I looked down at the water and it doesn't look like, oh, there's a picture. It looks like you could stick your hand in the water and feel the water.
Yeah.
It's like, and I have the fan going on me, so it feels like the breeze is on me while I'm doing it. And it's just so relaxed. I look forward to doing it. Like when I went on vacation, I couldn't get to it.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I was bummed about it. It's like I had to get it, but it wasn't hard to get back into it when I came back. So.
But it isn't good for young children.
Not under 12.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that it's
Wait,
like.
It,
there's something
Glad
about brain development and stuff like that. So, because we'd played it at my friend's place pre-pandemic, like goes over there and we let her play for a while. And then Lonnie looks it up and she's like, "Oh, this is cool, maybe." And he has the PlayStation one. She's like, "Oh, kids under 12 shouldn't play this because of." Then we're like, "Sorry, Lydia, we."
Yeah.
You can't get vaccinated.
You can't do VR.
You can't.
I did the same thing with my daughter. Like when she had to get glasses, right? But this is before she had glasses. And she had this thing happen. She's okay. She's fine. But she went one day, this was like in December. I told you about this.
Oh my God, she's totally fine.
She's fine.
I didn't even think about it.
So what happened was I had just gotten VR. She had put it on. And then she was sitting on the couch and she's like, "Mom, Dad, I can't, I'm seeing blurry." She was fucking cross-eyed. And we're like, what? That could be like a brain thing. So like, what the fuck? So we called the eye doctor and everything's like, get her to the emergency room. This is in the height of when LA was in the epicenter for the COVID.
This is so, like when the LA Times is like, do not go into a grocery
store. Don't go anywhere. And especially the emergency room, right? Yeah. So my wife took her, which was, again, like it was... But what it turned out to be, it wasn't anything brain stuff. It was that she had been straining her eyes for years and we didn't know it. And she'd been, and finally her eyes just said, nope, boop. And so after like a day or two, they sat back and we went up. She has glasses and she's been fine. But it was in my head, I'm going, oh my God, did I do that to her eyes in VR?
Yeah. Yes.
But it wasn't that. It was just straining. She was straining her eyes. She reads a lot.
Yeah.
She reads a lot. I mean, this kid, like, she devours like books the way like I devour New York pizza. Right. And it's great. But it's like, we just bought like fucking 80 books and you just finish them like that quick. She gets a new book and it's like, you can't find her because she's reading the entire. She's finished.
That's amazing.
I can't even tell you how many times she's read the Harry Potter books.
I know. I think I asked her.
She's like, yeah. Like, yeah, and she looked, and she's like, what, 3 or 4, of course.
She also, I was like, what are, what house are you? And she was like, well, I'm 2. I'm a Gryffindor.
Gryffindor.
She said I'm a Slytherin. I think is what she said.
Yeah.
She's like Slytherin. I'm like, you're Slytherin. She's like, yes, and Gryffindor. I was like, wow, what a mix to be. She's just like,
yeah.
I was like, well, I'm Hufflepuff. She's like, Maisie's Hufflepuff too. I'm like, yeah.
Makes sense. Before we get out of here though, too, we did say we wanted to talk about Richard Donner.
Yes.
Again, I think he was 93 years old or 92. great life. My buddy Derek Hoffman worked for him for a long time. He's still dead. Well, just the stuff that he did and the movies that he did for us as like kids, you know, and the ones obviously to me that stand out was Superman and Superman 2 changed my like life as a kid watching those movies. Christopher Reeve was my Superman, always will be. He was just so, there was something about I really related to that movie. The Donner Cut is a great version of Superman 2. If you've never seen it, that movie I don't think was pushed enough, his version of it and what happened to him, the way that he persevered. Lethal Weapon 1 and 2, I mean, those are some of the best action movies of all time. The Goonies, I watched that recently. I watched Lethal Weapon 1 and 2 and The Goonies recently. Superman 1 and 2 not too long ago. But yeah, what are your thoughts overall on Richard Donner, Kate?
I mean, you know exactly what's my true north of all films ever is Goonies, The Goonies.
Right.
It's The Goonies. And it's the only movie I, like, when I think about movie trivia Schmodown, I think about that, like, people love all movies the way I love The Goonies. That's the only way I can make sense of it, is that they could know that much about other movies, because I know everything there is to know about The Goonies. Like, I just, I just loved it. It was my entire childhood. And, you know, and during the pandemic, I don't know if you guys know this, Josh Gad was doing a sort of podcast thing where he would, like, reunite the cast. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
He reunited the casts of Goonies, and Spielberg and Donner showed up for it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, on Zoom. But anyway, check that out if you haven't, because it's great to just hear him talk. They just said, they were like, these kids were fucking misfits. We don't know what we were thinking doing this.
Well, here's a lot of the movie. I mean, Scrooged is another one. That's a great one. So here's some of the movies that, did he really do that one? I didn't even know that. And that was one of my favorite movies as a kid, was The Toy. With Richard Pryor. Yeah. When he's, you're talking about a movie that also had balls at that time, too. So he is, he's a reporter, Richard Pryor, right? And he's trying to get a job. And what's this? Jackie Gleason is like this rich, Norman Bates is a psycho. It's Bates, but it's Bates. Because they say Master Bates. But he, and so he's this rich dude who sees this kid. It's the same kid that stuck his tongue on the pole in Christmas Story. And so he winds up, he's working, he gets fired or something. He's working from being a reporter, and he's wind up trying to get a job somewhere. And he's in this department store working, and this is Wonder Wheel thing. Wonder Wheel! And the kid who's with Jackie Gleason for like a weekend sees Richard Pryor playing. He's like, I want that. Like, all right, get him Wonder Wheel. He's like, no, I want the man.
Yeah.
And he rents Richard Pryor for like the weekend.
Yeah. No, definitely not. It's happening.
Wow. So that was made in 2021.
I disagree. I think this movie absolutely would be made today, because it is 100% tackling head on racism and what it is. And that's what Richard Pryor and his wife in the film do, where it is full on tackling that and going after that. And that's what Richard Pryor was, one of the ballsiest comedians of all time.
Yeah.
Because he would tackle the shit that nobody wanted to talk about. And so that fact that movie came out in 82, that'd be controversy around it. But I do believe it would happen, because Richard Pryor was the one running it. And he
I'm sure it was. I mean, I'm sure he did his own.
Yeah.
So touching, but too.
Can you imagine pitching that, though, in 2021?
Yeah.
Pitching it would be a hard, unless you had somebody, if Dave Chappelle walks into the room and goes, I want to do this because. Do,
yeah.
Then it's getting made. Yes. But no.
But can you imagine if they're like, I know you're looking for more representation, so I've got this idea where a white kid
does
rents
this.
Rents
a black guy. And they're like, no. Yeah. You're right in the fact that it depends on who's pitching it.
Yes.
Right.
So
let's go through some more of Richard Donner's.
God, I forgot about
he's
the
got,
toy.
Dude, he's so many things, classics that he had done, right? So he directed a few episodes of Kojak, but The Omen was the big one that he did before he got Superman. Then Superman 2, then The Toy, then Lady Hawk, The Goonies.
Lady Hawk.
I know. Yeah, let me see if he directed. Yeah, he directed those. So Lady Hawk was the one with Matthew. Who's the Ferris Bueller? Matthew Broderick. Yeah.
I know, but there was a new Lady Hawk, wasn't there, recently?
I don't know. Crazy. No, you're thinking, Lady Hawk, what was the...
Oh, shoot. I'm not talking about.
No, no, no. Enemy. I know it's not Lady Hawk. It's shoot, the one Lady Bird. Yeah, that's what you're thinking of. The Greta Gerwig movie. This is again my recall. Athletes in the Schmodown. It's a real thing.
Well, yeah, actual athletes.
And the three of us in a room, like, what was that thing?
What was the guy?
No, come on, you had the guy in it.
It's like my mother. Who was the movie with the person that was in it saying the lines that the cameras were rolling that came out in the theater once? You know that one?
Do you remember? I used to do that bit about how my parents, whenever they hear a song.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, God, who was it? No, they did Graze in the Grass. Oh, God. Yeah, right. And I said, my generation's not going to have that problem because it's going to be like, oh, God, who sang this song? Da, 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 da. Yeah. It's the one and only D-O-double-G, Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was Snoop Dogg. Right. That's who it
that
was.
That was the Snoopsies. Yeah. Let's see. Scrooged, obviously. Radio Flyer. Maverick. Maverick. Assassins. Conspiracy Theory. Lethal Weapon 4. And 16 Blocks was the last one he directed. He had a great filmography, man. What a great filmography that guy did. You know why? Because he didn't just direct anything that came across his desk. He had a great film. That's a great filmography.
He also, what's the last thing he did?
16 Blocks.
No, but I'm saying, like, year-wise.
That was 2006.
Yeah, it's like he really pulled the plug at a time that maybe made sense for him because
he was tired. Yeah, he was 91.
I know.
He was 91 when he died. So, you know, he was in his late 70s, 80s when he kind of stepped back. And that's like, he's tired.
Yeah.
And his company is producing tons of stuff. He's got a lot of production stuff. He's got tons of stuff. But yeah, he was, from everything I heard, a great man too. I never had the opportunity to meet him. I know that Mark Andreyko said that he did and had wonderful things to say about him. But, you always, no matter how old you are, you always feel bad for the people's families and people who knew him and worked with him. But
what did he pass from? Do we know?
I just think old age. I mean, 91 years old.
May we all go that way.
Yeah, 91.
Hit 90, boom.
You're good. You good at 90?
Yeah.
I'm good at 190.
190.
I just want to see my kids' kids.
Is that what it is?
Kids.
I just want to be with my kids as long as possible.
Wow. And the next conversation of, do you fear death?
Goofball.
Shoes, beef, and the beef shoes. All right, speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for joining us here on the show. A lot of different things for you guys to take away from the show besides the fact that we're lunatics. Please, head on over to that new SEN channel. I'm going to check at the time we recorded this. If we're at 10,000, what do you think? You guys think we're at 10,000 yet?
I think so.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Because I retweeted it.
Thank you. So that helped it out. We're at 10,000 subscribers on the new channel. SEN will be on every day from 10 to 12. Look, and I said this today to the crew of SEN. I said it to Kate and Brett beforehand. And I say it now. SEN right now, the shift over to the new channel was the best thing we ever did because it's getting ultimately the same amount of views that it was on the channel now at 10,000 that it was at 300,000. And it shows like the overpopulation of what was going on in that main channel. So eventually this show will live there too. So please go on over there, subscribe, check out. That's there. The Inner Geekdom show is over there. The Sith Council show is over there. This show will live there eventually. This show is on the main channel from Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The Goofball episode will air every Wednesday now. Please subscribe on podcast feed. Do all of that. Very important for you guys to do that. And lastly, the Patreon, patreon.com/SENLive or patreon.com/Schmodown. Thank you. And don't forget that the collision is going to be July 31st, ladies and gentlemen. July 31st. I think that's Saturday. Is that what that is? Hopefully. July 31st. Please go and get it on the SchmodownLive.com. You can go and check that out. So thank you to, yes.
I was just going to say, could we end the show like The Sopranos? Can I just sing Journey and then you just turn it off?
Cut off. No, yeah. Copyright strike.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing it. They won't track it.
My way of saying I don't want to hear you sing.
No. What if I did in the wrong melody? Just a small town girl.
Living in a
lonely world.
Boom. There's just some song. I can't remember who did that. There was some artist that was like, and I heard it, but
that's how you get around copyright restrictions.
All right, listen to me. This was a fun show. Thank you guys so very much. And as always, we appreciate you. We love you. And we cannot do this show without you. So thank you so very much to everyone. We'll see you on the flip side.
Small town girl.